This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're reviewing a Super Bowl victory by the Seattle Seahawks. And kind of going through what the Packers need to do to get back to the Seahawks level. I have to apologize, folks. I'm kind of getting over this cold slash flu bug. I don't even know what it is. So, if my voice is a little scratchy today, a little hoarse, I apologize. It's kind of a sad story. It couldn't have happened at just about a worse time. As I was in New York City for the Super Bowl this past week, as you know, this is the first episode of Railbird Central in like a week. Little over a week since I left, had a great time in New York City. Unfortunately, this past Thursday afternoon, evening, started to come down with this cold flu bugs. I had the aches, I had the chills, I was absolutely terrible. So while I'm on the road and trying to cover the Super Bowl, all of a sudden it hits me, and now I'm over the worst, which is good. And now I'm on the road to recovery. But that kind of dampened my enjoyment a little bit of the whole Super Bowl experience and Super Bowl trip. But back in the land of the green and gold now, back in Wisconsin, and you know, getting to this Super Bowl win by the Seattle Seahawks. Congratulations to the Seahawks. I feel a little bit like where we were 2 weeks ago, congratulating the Seahawks on their NFC Championship victory. But, same thing here. Congratulations to all the people with Packers ties that won their Super Bowl. Probably the most important being General Manager John Schneider, the former Packers executive, and the job he did in, orchestrating, being the architect of this Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl win, did an absolutely amazing job. I'm seeing, unfortunately, people, on social media being very bold and saying, the Packers should fire Ted Thompson and get John Schneider. And while, I have no ill will for John Schneider whatsoever, to say this in hindsight of the Super Bowl win is rather foolish. They both have now won Super Bowl victories, one each. Time to give Ted Thompson a chance. Now, certainly the clock is ticking on Ted Thompson and his, to bring this team back to prominence while the Aaron Rodgers window is, kind of open. But, Ted Thompson deserves that chance. He's done it before. I do have confidence he can do it again. He's got to prove it, but his time starts now. Well, probably not now. Started a while back, probably ever since the last Super Bowl the Packers won back 3 years ago. Anyway, congratulations to John Schneider. Congratulations to former Packers players like punter John Ryan, like offensive lineman Breno Giacomini. And what I wanted to do here this morning, I actually had the opportunity to speak to Breno Giacomini briefly in the days before the Super Bowl, and I kind of wanted to share that interview here on the show this morning, kind of showing, where he's been and where he's going, where he's headed. And it very interesting to hear him talk, a guy who used to play for the Green Bay Packers and of course, ended up, having a difficult time while he was in a Packers uniform. But, last night, achieving the pinnacle, the goal of his career, that every young player grows up dreaming to win that Vince Lombardi trophy and be called Super Bowl champion, Breno Giacomini has come a long way. So without further ado, here's an interview. And just keep in mind, this was the conducted before the Super Bowl, but interesting to hear the thoughts from Breno Giacomini. So take a listen.
You left there. I mean, would you say things have gone pretty well for you?
Yeah. You know, I was on the practice squad here, up and down here, you know. But I've learned a lot, you know, in Green Bay, and I just kind of transferred it over to Seattle and just kept growing. So, you know, my career has definitely taken off since I've been in Seattle. So, yeah, it's definitely grown a little bit.
Is this the pinnacle of your career?
Right now, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I'll tell you on Monday. Yeah. But, you know, it's getting there, man. We got to win this game to really, you know, make solidify everything that, you know, we didn't just come here to play in the game. We want to win it.
Yeah. Parted ways with it.
You know what? I respect them, man. I talked to TJ today a little bit, and I talked to Sitton last night. Kind of been asking them, what's this craziness going to be about? You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I respect them. You know, and when I got cut, I knew, you know, it's about the business. So yeah, I definitely respect that team, that coach, all the coaching staff, and all that. So this, you know, I don't hate them at all. I actually. Thanks for the opportunity for actually drafting the guy that only played 1 year at tackle in school. So a lot of respect still for those guys over there, for sure.
Does the connection with John Schneider being in Green Bay, do you think that's what maybe led to you coming here?
Yeah, there's no question. Matter of fact, right after I signed with the Green Bay squad, the practice squad, Schneider called me about 2 hours later asking me to come over to Seattle. So... You know, it's definitely been the John Schneider, connection that got me here. And he told me right away. So, you know, I was on practice squad for a few weeks in Green Bay, and you know, I did what I could. And then Schneider just had an open roster spot, and he kind of, you know, just say, hey, come with us. So, took advantage of that.
So you've seen John Schneider, you've seen Ted Thompson. They have very different philosophies of building a team. Like Green Bay doesn't sign free agents, you know.
And, yeah.
But John doesn't seem to be afraid to. Do you see a difference between the two?
I'm sure there's differences. You know, I couldn't really, you know, speak much on that. I just know they're both really good guys.
And that concludes the interview with Breno Giacomini. As you could kind of hear, he didn't really take my bait. I wanted to get his thoughts on the way these two general managers who, you know, work together, Schneider working under Thompson for a while, both disciples of former Packers general manager Ron Wolf, kind of wanted to get Giacomini's thoughts on how they compare and contrast a little bit. Didn't really want to get into that, and, you know, I can't blame him for not really wanting to get into comparisons and things like that. But, you know, it does now, of course, bring up the question, is Ted Thompson's draft and develop philosophy almost exclusively the way to go when you see a guy like John Schneider, just his fourth year, or was this his third year? As general manager of the Seahawks, whatever it is, in a short amount of time, the way he's built that team into a Super Bowl winning franchise, you know, he went out and you know, certainly did a good job in the draft and grabbing Russell Wilson, of course, you know, now looks like a stroke of genius. But on top of that, you know, he filled out the roster and got, you know, key pieces, other methods of building that team. Guys like Percy Harvin went out and traded for him. And you saw what Percy Harvin did last night for the Seattle Seahawks. And by the way, Seattle Seahawks, you know, everybody makes a lot of attention about their defense, and deservedly so. This team won all three phases of the game last night. Well, of course, I mean, they just blew out the Denver Broncos. But it certainly was a dominant defensive effort, and maybe they deserve the bulk of the credit. But you can't deny the way that the Seahawks also won on offense, you know, outperforming the Denver Broncos, the number one offense in the NFL, and on top of that, also winning the special teams battle with Percy Harvin, of course, being a key factor, returning a kickoff for a touchdown, arguably could have been in the running for Super Bowl MVP, ends up going to linebacker Malcolm Smith, who is, you know, deserving as well. But, you know, going back to the point here, acquiring Percy Harvin via trade, on top of that, you know, John Schneider active in free agency, bringing in guys on the front seven like Cliff Averill, like Michael Bennett, and how good of a job did they do yesterday? I mean, absolutely doing fantastic, putting pressure on Peyton Manning and forcing him into some of those interceptions. Averill getting the safety just seconds into the game. And I guess that kind of can transition here into a discussion of, you know, the Seattle defense kind of being a model for the Green Bay Packers. How do you build a championship kind of style defense to win you titles in the NFL? The Seattle Seahawks have done it. The Packers aren't there. They haven't had that good defense since they won their Super Bowl in 2011, now 3 years ago. Packers defense was very good that year. And of course, I mean, you look at the guys who are on that team that are no longer there. You've got Charles Woodson, who is just 1 year removed from being NFL Defensive Player of the Year and still a very good player. In 2010, that following season, kind of being the heart and soul of that team at cornerback, that slot cornerback position especially, where he was so effective. You've got Nick Collins at safety, the guy who had a pick six in the Super Bowl. And of course, you know, since that time, the safety position has kind of been very subpar in Green Bay ever since Collins left. You've got Cullen Jenkins, who is a interior pass rusher extraordinaire for the Packers on that Super Bowl team, and they had it took such a long time for the Packers to find another one of those, and it does appear like maybe they have. You know, maybe they've found that guy in Mike Daniels, who's kind of in that Cullen Jenkins kind of mode, kind of mold too as well. That, you know, maybe the Packers got a piece there of what, you know, a good defense should be. But now they got to build around that. And it certainly would be nice if Mike Daniels could kind of develop into a three-down type of player. And maybe he will. He's kind of been used as strictly a pass-rushing kind of player almost exclusively early in his career here. Can he develop into a Geno Atkins kind of player of the Cincinnati Bengals, where you can keep him out there on running downs? And I think maybe Mike Daniels can do that. It's just a matter of, you know, having the confidence to do so. And you know, I guess, you know, you got to find out in things like training camp, preseason. You know, because I think teams are going to test that. They're going to start running at the small guy on the defensive line and trying to pound him. And you got to see how Mike Daniels holds up. But anyway, I mean, regardless, even if he is strictly a pass-rushing interior defensive lineman, the Packers could use one of those, no doubt about it. And today's NFL, where the passing game is just, you know, dominates the running game for the most part, you're going to be on the field more than you're not anyway. So, you know, again, a piece to build around. But what do the Packers have to do to get back to that championship defense? I think you saw a very athletic team out there last night. You know, we can kind of break this up into maybe front seven and back seven. We talked about already, you know, Nick Collins kind of being a missing piece from that Packers Super Bowl team back in 2011. And it, you know, being in the back seven, the Packers are you know, nowhere near having the secondary, the back seven, the speed of the Seattle back seven. Guys at safety, you look at Cam Chancellor, Seattle safety, who arguably could have won the Super Bowl MVP award for his play last night, coming up with an interception, but also just making so many nice tackles. It's like a pass was complete, and boom, Cam Chancellor was making a tackle short of the first down marker so many times. Having a guy like him in the secondary would be absolutely great. How do the Packers get there and pair him with a guy like Earl Thomas? It's kind of an abundance of riches in Seattle to have such two good safeties there and two different really types of players. You've got the big, tall safety in Cam Chancellor. You've got the short but fast, but a guy who can close like Earl Thomas. And I'm not saying the Packers have to get a tall guy and a short guy, but what they have in common is they're both effective. They get the job done. They just simply need more talent in general. And how do you do that? The Packers have to somehow upgrade the talent at safety in Green Bay. And I think, you know, you're stuck with Morgan Burnett, for better or worse, being a starter at safety. And it is, you know, it was so disappointing the season that he had in 2013 here. You thought you would get so much more out of him after he was given the long-term contract extension, multi-millions. You know, what was his contract? $24 million, something in that range. I don't remember the exact numbers here off the top of my head. But you expected more from him than you got in 2013. But maybe it's partially a product of not playing across from a guy like Nick Collins or Charles Woodson. You know, if maybe you could pair somebody better, maybe that's going to elevate Morgan Burnett's play as a result. And you can only hope that's the case. Now, how do the Packers do it? Do they go about it through the draft, or do they go about it through free agency? Obviously, we know if you follow the Green Bay Packers, Ted Thompson does not get heavily involved in free agency, doesn't want to throw around foolish money that so many teams do out there. And, you understand that philosophy, as you don't want to, mortgage the future for short-term gains. And sometimes if you're throwing out big time money to an average player, how much is your gain really? But if there's any position I think the Packers may go out and get a big time free agent, it would be at safety this year, because there's so many good ones out there. You know, Jarius Byrd of the Buffalo Bills, TJ Ward of the Cleveland Browns, Dante Whitner of the San Francisco 49ers, the guy from the Dolphins. There's guys out there that the Packers could conceivably go after. Now, they're not going to be the only guys, vying for their services. You know, the price tag is going to go up the more teams that want to sign these guys. So it's not going to be easy by any means, no doubt about it. But I do think if there's one position that could be it, not to say that's the only position the Packers might, conceivably go after. I could see him maybe getting a defensive lineman as well. Another effective piece with so many guys currently in Green Bay whose contracts are expiring that are defensive linemen. B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, C.J. Wilson, Johnny Jolly, Mike Neal, whatever you want to call Mike Neal, a linebacker, defensive lineman. Depending on what happens to those guys, maybe I could see the Packers going out and signing a defensive lineman as well. Maybe. I mean, so, you know, do you do what the Seattle Seahawks did and go out in free agency and grab yourself a Cliff Averill, who worked out very well? The guy gets a safety in the Super Bowl, is a good presence all year long. A Michael Bennett, you know, kind of your bookend pass rushers there in Seattle, who did such a good job yesterday and all season long. Or do you build through the draft? Do you try to re-sign these guys? Do you try to re-sign B.J. Raji? You know, we all know the story by now. The Packers reportedly offered B.J. Raji a contract worth $8 million per season on average, according to Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, that's just one person's report from an anonymous source, but nobody has refuted that from either side, the Packers or Raji's camp or anything like that, which makes you kind of believe it's true. And given Bob McGinn's track record, I have no reason to believe it isn't. Now, what do you do, though? I mean, you don't offer B.J. Raji a contract in the realm of $8 million anymore. That offer has more than likely been taken off the table. But, I mean, do you still try to re-sign him at a lower price, at $6 million a year, after the type of season that B.J. Raji had, which very much like Morgan Burnett was very underwhelming and not, you know, no better than average, no doubt about it, that you're getting simply from an average NFL player. And then the role players on the team, do you re-sign for small amounts of money? Guys like Ryan Pickett, C.J. Wilson, Johnny Jolly, et cetera, and a guy like Jolly, you know, of course, depends upon his health and things like that. So you know, there's lots of questions. I don't have all the answers to. And believe me, nobody does. I like to be opinionated and throw opinions out there for people who tune into a podcast. But I'll tell you what, folks, anybody who claims they know how the Packers offseason with 20 free agents is going to play out is lying. I mean, if you want me to predict every free agent the Packers will sign from their own team, and then on top of it, you know, guys they're going to go out and sign from other teams, you know, that's just guesswork. I mean, there's so many different ways it can go, and we are going to start to figure it out in just a couple weeks as free agency starts in March. I mean, now we're about a month away from the start of free agency here. And, you know, it's just, what is it, you know, 2-3 weekends away from NFL combine time, but you start to get the feelers around that time what's going to happen in free agency, because Ted Thompson's going to have a press conference and Mike McCarthy, and you kind of feel, you know, they by that time they have their press conferences and they have time to step back and reflect upon the season. And I think get a little bit of a feel, especially from Mike McCarthy. Ted Thompson, of course, is always guarded in what he says. But I think you get a feel of kind of maybe some of the weaknesses at the NFL Combine from Mike McCarthy, the weaknesses on the team, and areas he wants to fix and improve and get better. And you can kind of see maybe the road at that time the Packers will take. So that, you know, that's kind of the next thing we'll be looking forward to as Packer fans, as football fans, the kind of the next thing that's on the horizon here, the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Looking forward to that, and you know, of course, on top of just hearing Mike McCarthy, you know, kind of getting a closer look at these prospects, the potential Packers out there. I mean, obviously, even if the Packers are going to get involved in free agency, you still build through the draft. The Packers are still going to have, when they start the draft out, 9 draft picks this year. Hopefully, there's a couple players in there that are really going to contribute to the team and make an impact and help this team out. And so, I mean, you still are a draft and develop team in that way, and hopefully the Packers find themselves another Eddie Lacy. You know, by the way, congratulations over the weekend to Eddie Lacy for winning the Packers for representing the Packers and winning the NFL's, the Associated Press's NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Award. At the third annual NFL Honors. It was on Fox the night before the Super Bowl. So congratulations to Eddie Lacy for winning that. Very deserved. Did a very good job this past season and hopefully is going to kind of hold down the fort there at running back for the Packers for years to come. So, you know, that's great. And you know, it kind of remains to be seen how, you know, a guy that runs with the physicality of Eddie Lacy, how long will his body allow him to hold up? You kind of wonder about that in your mind, but I mean, hey, for the time being, he did a great job, had a great season. Congratulations, Eddie. On top of that, Packers getting honored for having the NFL's Never Say Never moment of the year, the touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb in the season finale against the Chicago Bears as they were down, trailing the Bears and scoring that touchdown, which clinched not only the NFC North Division title, but also a spot in the playoffs. I mean, great play, obviously, the play of the year for the Packers, and ends up being the play of the year in the NFL, at least the Never Say Never moment of the year. So that was really fun to see Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb honored with that. I think it's a shame almost that fullback John Kuhn wasn't also invited to New York to kind of take part as being awarded with or representing the Packers for his job in that play. Of course, making that absolutely key block. But anyway, the point being still, congratulations to the whole Packers team, really, for making that play possible. And that's really cool that they were honored with that. So kind of take, you know, Packers, Packers, you know, representing Green Bay at the site of the Super Bowl, taking home some hardware from the NFL Honors, showing that there is, you know, a lot to like about this team. Here we are. The whole purpose is, you know, the show, this episode, the kind of the theme. How did the Packers get back to that point? Well, there are a lot of pieces in place. Guys like Eddie Lacy, like Aaron Rodgers, like Randall Cobb. You know, heck, if I were to ask people on the live blog right now, rank the best players on the team or the most important players on the team. It, you know, the three guys who took home the hardware from NFL Honors on Saturday night, you know, Rodgers, Lacy, Cobb, those three might be at the very top of your list or come in at least very close. What, those three would probably all be in the top five at least. You got to throw like Clay Matthews in there somewhere. But heck, after he's been injured so much the past 2 years, he might fall behind them now. The point is, you know, they're the pieces you build around, and they all are very talented. Now they all just got to stay healthy, of course. And, you know, in addition to Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers missing half the year, Randall Cobb missing more than half the year. They got to stay healthy like Eddie Lacy, and maybe the Packers will be able to contend for that Super Bowl. Not that they weren't contending already. I mean, what is this here? You know, five straight years they've been in the playoffs. But of course, you know, early exits in each of the past three seasons in the playoffs. What have the Packers got to get to get back to the promised land, to winning their Vince Lombardi trophy? I wish I had the answer. I wish they had the answer, but I do think they do maybe have to get involved in free agency somehow. You know, maybe not ignoring it entirely as they have been under Ted Thompson, and not like they have been entirely, but being a little more aggressive and filling out the roster, you know, with veteran guys. The biggest complaint I have about this past season, it is at safety, where they didn't add a veteran, especially after not adding a rookie in the NFL draft. I think, you know, at that point, you got to know you have a hole that you should fill, and they didn't go out and do it. I mean, what would have been the hurt post-draft to go out and sign a free agent safety or two? And even, I mean, hey, if the guys don't work out, the type of guy you're signing after the NFL draft, you're not signing to much money. He's probably making $1 million at most. It, you know, a guy like Michael Huff, like Kerry Rhodes. So if they don't work out, you can still cut them before the start of the season and be no worse off. It's not going to affect the salary cap hardly ever unless you give them some sort of signing bonus. You're out that money. But, I mean, you're not giving those kind of guys big signing bonuses by any means. That's one of the biggest, you know, regrets I have, or I see one of the biggest, you know, mistakes I saw the Packers make this past year. And you know, a route they perhaps have to start taking in the future, filling out that roster with veterans, some veterans out there. Not a ton, but some veterans. Gets back to an article I wrote, as I hope you had a chance to read some of our coverage from the Super Bowl this past week. Had a chance to interview former Packers linebacker Brady Papinga, who is a great story since his playing time. Is now he speaks Spanish. Interesting how he did a Mormon mission right after high school, went to Uruguay, didn't even know Spanish at the time, the language, ended up learning it during his mission. You know, and now putting his knowledge of the language to use, has joined Fox Sports Deportes and called the football game yesterday, the Super Bowl. First time ever that the Super Bowl is televised in Spanish in the USA. First time ever that's happened. Almost hard to believe. Not that it's been, you know, it's been broadcasted in Spanish before, just never in the USA. So Brady Papinga making history. But on top of that, you know, I asked Brady Papinga about the current Packers team, and he was kind of saying how the Packers, you know, there's jobs being given to young guys who aren't earning them. And on top of that, you know, with too many young guys on the team, saying the Packers have to get involved in free agency. Just kind of some, you know, interesting thoughts from a former Packers player on the current Packers team about things the Packers need to do. Made for a good article and an interesting perspective from a former player. Anyway, so everybody, hey, it's past 9 o'clock here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for listening to my nasally voice here as I have a cold that I'm working through. I'm sure it probably wasn't the most pleasant listening experience in the world, considering my condition, but it's no matter what, it's always great to talk Packers football, and excited to be back from the Super Bowl and get into some more Packers talk here. But anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back again on Wednesday talking more Packers football, as we are here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at CheeseheadTV.com. Watch the show now on TV via your Roku player, via the live stream platform. So make sure to check that out. But hey, we'll see you Wednesday. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. I'm Brian Kirivu on behalf of Jamie Snowden. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Barstool by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.
Listen to your voice, but I'm missing you so.